Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, the church throughout the ages has celebrated the fact that the crucified and risen Christ has bodily ascended into heaven. For the 40 days after his resurrection from the dead, Jesus appeared to the disciples in Jerusalem, eating with them, teaching them, and showing them with other signs that he was no longer dead, but in fact very much so alive. 40 days after Jesus had broken the seal of the tomb, he was with the disciples in Jerusalem and then bodily ascended into heaven until the clouds blocked their view. The disciples, who had their feet firmly planted on the Jerusalem soil, craned their necks and strained their eyes to see the ascended Lord, but to no avail. If we leave the narrative there, we might be wondering, well, what on earth is there to celebrate concerning the fact that Jesus has bodily ascended into heaven? If we leave the narrative with the disciples peering up into heaven, trying to see the Lord for a little while longer, well, it seems almost pathetic and pretty hopeless, like a child looking up into the sky after you let go a helium balloon. But there is much to celebrate on earth, that Jesus has bodily ascended into heaven. And there's no pity for the disciples, but power and hope. Well, hope abounds. Well, because the narrative doesn't just end with Jesus leaving his disciples. It continues with the sending of the Holy Spirit. It continues with Jesus' reign on earth, beginning with the apostolic witness at Pentecost and extending to this very day. And it goes beyond the last day, when Christ the King, who ascended into heaven, returns in the clouds, descending to earth in glory, as he had said. But first, let's consider that first ascension of our Lord. There's a book of devotions compiled by CPH from C.F.W. Walther, called God Grant It, and in it there's a wonderful devotion concerning the ascension of our Lord. Walther writes, "Considering Christ's ascension, it's like staring at the sun. The more closely a person looks into it, the worse his eyes become, and finally he cannot see anything at all. This work of Christ is for those who do not need to investigate, but who simply want to believe with childlike faith what Scripture says about it. The more simply we regard the biblical description of this event, the more it strengthens our faith. The Scripture does not say the ascended Christ is confined like the saints. Instead, he fills everything. It does not tell us that he was received by the heavens, but that he received heaven. Even that he ascended far above the heavens where he sits at the right hand of God." The Bible conveys the right hand of God to refer to God's omnipresence, omnipotence, his dominion, his eternally and divine majesty. St. Paul declares, "He raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Now, all this is said not about Christ's divinity, but about his human nature, assumed in the form of a servant. After all, the divine nature could be neither humbled nor exalted, nor could it experience a decline in or an increase in glory, as the psalmist reports in considering God's divinity, "But you are the same." No, Christ left the world. He would no longer walk among us as a mortal man, natural, visible, tangible, and spatial, as he once did with his disciples. But let us not conclude that Christ is the king of a kingdom from which he is separated, in which he can only rule at a distance. He spatially departed from the disciples. With his glorified body, he raised himself higher and higher until the disciples could no longer see him. But as soon as the gate of clouds closed behind him, he entered into a state of divine majesty, appearing full of glory to all angels and saints who were welcoming him with their hymns of triumph. Then, as a man, he commenced his almighty and omnipresent dominion over heaven and earth and all creatures. When we consider Christ's ascension according to the clear witness of Holy Scripture, we find a certain foundation for our joyful faith. He has not removed himself from his church. Instead, he is now, as God and man, extending his grace, help, and protection in all places. As Aaron wore on his breastplate the names of the tribes of Israel when he entered into the Holy of Holies, so Christ, appearing as the true high priest before God in heaven, wears the names of all believers on his heart. There he prays without ceasing for his own, and he rules them, cares for them, and protects them so that the gates of hell cannot overpower them. Wow. You know, indeed, the church on earth has much to celebrate in the ascension of our Lord. He has received the heavens. He has received dominion over all of his creation. He intercedes for his church on earth. And though he is not physically present with his church on earth, he has not left or forsaken it. Listen again to our Lord's promise. Wait for the promise of the Father. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. See, the risen Lord physically ascends into heaven for the purpose of sending the Holy Spirit. The law and the prophets have looked forward to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit when Joel wrote, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days I will pour out my Spirit." Look, 10 short days from the ascension of the Lord, this promise is fulfilled. Now, from Pentecost to this day, the kingdom of God has been proclaimed. Beginning in Jerusalem, extending to Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the world, the good news that the King has come to redeem creation from the dominion of sin, death, and the devil is continually being proclaimed. By the power of the Holy Spirit, this reality is being revealed. Through the preaching of Christ crucified and risen, the Holy Spirit is breaking down hearts of stone and creating new hearts that believe and perceive with eyes of faith that Jesus is the Lord and the King of all creation. You know, as you hear, and as the Holy Spirit is working in you, and as you believe the message first preached by the apostles, God is at work. As you hear now, as you hear how Jesus suffered and died to forgive your sin, as you are moved to repent of that sin and look with eyes straining to the cross, there you will see and receive the salvation accomplished for you by Jesus' death. As you hear how Jesus was raised from the dead, as you remember your baptism into Jesus' death and his resurrection, as you behold the empty cross and the tomb, your hearts are filled with hope, assured that you will live just as Christ now lives. As you look to the altar and see with your eyes bread and wine, as you look for strength and forgiveness of your sin, you behold with the eyes of faith Christ himself present with you to give you exactly what he has promised. As we celebrate the meal, we join in the heavenly chorus with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, singing, "Holy, holy, holy." No, dear saints in the Lord, you are not alone. Christ is in the midst of his people, dwelling with you by word and sacrament. You are his, he is your king. You live now by faith in his kingdom. His kingdom. The disciples in Jerusalem asked Jesus, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" You know, with them, we might be asking, will the will the fullness of your kingdom now come? We stand here on earth and we see your church persecuted. We see all the disasters afflicting people around the world. We ourselves are distanced from one another because of a virus. We see the effects of sin and death all around us and even within us. Will you now restore the fullness of the kingdom? Will it come now, Jesus? Well, as Jesus said to the disciples, he says also to us, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. No, he says, the fullness is not yet. But, dear child, my kingdom is come, and it comes to you. Jesus says to you, I am your king. I have rescued you and redeemed you. Though for a little while you do not see me with your eyes, you will. You will see the fullness of my kingdom. You will see the limitless extent of my reign. But not until the Father reveals the hour. Until that time, as I rule and I reign over you, live in faith to me. Spend your days living out my love for you as you live in loving service for your neighbor. Speak of me in your home as you walk along the way, as you do the work that I have given you to do. Trust in me that when I say that I'm with you always to the very end of the age, I keep my promise. And so look, lift up your hearts. You know, every day that passes brings us closer to the end of this age. Lift up your eyes, for the creation will behold the ascended Christ descend once again in the same way he went up. Now, Charles Wesley penned the line from his well-known hymn, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. Once for every sinner slain, thousand saints attending, swell the triumph of his train. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Christ the Lord returns to reign. You got that right. He returns to reign in glory. Though we believe, teach, and confess that we are not waiting for Christ to reign, but we live in the reality that Christ is actually reigning here and now. And when the King returns, he will bring with him the fulfillment, the fullness of his reign. And at the time, we will not see by faith, but you and I and all the faithful will see with eyes remade. We'll see the Lord as he dwells with his people in the flesh. We will see the vast eternal nature of his reign. We will live in the fullness of his victory over sin, death, and the devil. And these bodies, these temples of the Holy Spirit, will be raised in power and glory. And we will celebrate here on earth with the crucified, risen, ascended, and descending King of creation. And so that, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is what on earth we have to celebrate concerning the Lord's ascension. Amen. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ guard and keep our hearts and minds in him as he rules and reigns as we live in his kingdom and we look for the fullness yet to come. Amen.